You know, I'm just going to start. You know, in certain quarters in Christianity, they are now they face probably certain things similar, and they'll say, so they advocate, we now need church without walls. You get the point. So we can be accessible and all of this. Well, brothers, I'd like to tell you, no. We are a church with walls. We will never tear down those walls. Right? But we are a church with walls plus gates. That's the balance. We will not compromise, you know, and become worldly and become unsanctified. But at the same time, and it can be done, by the way, those things are not mutually exclusive. We can have gates for so many to come in. Now, I would like to say that not with the new ones, sinners, seekers, and even saints. And I'm going to include even our own saints, particularly our young generation, our own, the Generation Z people, junior high, high school. We lost way too many of them. Way too many. I don't have a number, but we did a little. I did a little calculation down south in Southern California. This is not scientific, but it shows the seriousness of the situation. From junior high, that is seventh grade, is that? Seventh grade, junior high. All the way to senior in high school, those, 6 years? Okay. Down there, we count, we go by these young saints, whether they are in the church life or not, you know, as a criteria. Now, by that I mean, of course, there's a gradation, but they are in the meetings and so on, right? In those 6 years, the attrition rate, the drop-off rate, 35%. We lost our own. 35%. Then you go on the college years. 4 more years. You know, college, they fly the coop, am I right? I say minimally we lost another 15. So that in the span of 10 years, we lost about 1 out of every 2 of our own young people. Lost meaning they don't come to meetings, they disassociate themselves, they want nothing to do with it, or there are all kinds of situations. Now, this may not be your situation. I'm telling you, this is down south. Losing 1 out of 2 is a lot. Is a lot. If we can, to put it in a not a good way, we lost 1 out of 3, that's a lot of people that we retain. And that will go to the bottom column, the bottom line of the increase, internal increase in the Lord's recovery. So while we're hemorrhaging, I use this word, internally, we're gaining people from the outside, and what we lost sort of cancel that out. And that's one of the explanations of why our growth rate is so anemic. Now, I'm very burdened, like so many of you, especially parents, for our own. And certainly I'm not here being critical to parents. There's a lot of things we need to talk about or address. But I would like to say that in many instances, it starts with them being bored. Bored. They find what we're doing irrelevant to them. Of course, there's the Dungeons and Dragons and whatever. There's always that stuff, right? Well, of course there's that stuff. Friends, the this or that. But in terms of the church life, there's also another kind of what I call disconnect internally, not with outside, but even within, generationally. So brothers, I'm not here to offer a solution, neither am I here to touch this huge, big subject. But I like to just put it in simple terms in the context of our fellowship today. That is, brothers, we must find a way to connect with our next gen. In the same principle, we want to connect with sinners outside. That means a whole lot of coming down to where they are, a whole lot of care, a whole lot of patience. Parents, saints, I'll stop here to go to my burden because I'm short of time. And that is the whole matter this morning, brothers and sisters, is we got to not dumb down. We do need to come down to where people are, to reach them with much patience, much compassion, much loving care, with the view that in time we can bring them up to where we are. Don't expect and don't just yank them up here. That's why we don't gain people. Too quick, too impatient, expecting them to get the stuff and do the things. Being spiritual and being human are not mutually exclusive. You can be both. Brother Nee, one person testified in the book Seer of the Divine Revelation. One time he saw Brother Nee on the ground playing marbles with the kiddies. He was shocked. This guy wrote The Spiritual Man. He is on the ground playing marbles. I tell you, if you read Watchman Nee and you touch his spirit, Brother Nee is a very tender-hearted man. Very human. And yet at the same time, a spiritual giant. No doubt about that. Brothers, don't think if we're spiritual, we cannot be human, or vice versa. No. No. Our spirituality actually is expressed in our humanity. That's where it's really spiritual. If you cannot talk some baseball with this college kid, you can connect. You say, I've died to baseball. Baseball is dead to me. Well, that's praise the Lord for that. But no one will talk to you. Now, I'm not for you going now, oh, praise the Lord. Minoru Chen, give me the freedom now to really get into. Aha. I'm going to don the, become a fan again and put on my cap and go to the games. You know I'm not talking about that. You don't need to do that. But I'm saying we are so out of touch with the people outside and our own young people. They don't know what we're talking about. They find no interest. They're bored. How to make the Lord interesting to them is a challenge. And we can do that. But a lot have to do with how we reach them, how we're with them, how we come down to their level, how we fit their taste. You know, to gain the people, Americans, you have to fit their taste. If you don't fit their taste, they won't come. They say, well, you have good stuff. You know, I like your Bible, but I will not meet with you because it doesn't fit me. So, okay, I hope we're clear. We're not talking about conformity with the world. We are talking about, again, a heart like Jesus who would be with people where they are with a lot of patience. Don't think you can do something in a few days. It takes a long time. Birch has these old colleagues of yours, right? These first responders, policemen, fire guys, and rescue folks, whatever, over these last 20, 30 years. And now, one by one, they're all getting saved. And the children are getting saved. Well, maybe they're not in the church life yet. But are you happy?
Amen.
Someone is saved.
Amen.
Someone is saved.
Amen.
Oh, probably they are poor material. They will never be an overcomer. They didn't make it into the church life. What? What? Is that your standard? Of course, we're here to bring people into the church life. Of course, to the house of God. Of course. And there's a homing device in everyone. Am I right? And Jubilee is to come back to your family. Of course. But brothers, we're here to give, not to proselytize. Those who come will come. Those who come in will come in. But we don't pick and choose and say, if you're saved and you don't come into the church, I'm not going to save you. What? What? When one person is saved, heaven is full of joy. The angels are clapping and singing. Are you okay with that? We need to save a lot of people, whether they come or not. BFA, we give away Bibles, and people will ask us, hey, how many people you got through BFA? I can never tell them because I don't know. A lot came into the church life, and a lot didn't. Most who got a Bible did not come to the church life, or has not come into the church life. Has BFA failed its mission? Absolutely not. Amongst those who get saved, the Lord will move, the Lord has his elect, the Lord will do his work. Our job is to go and find them, is to go and give, is to go and love. Open your home, open your heart, open your refrigerator. And after some time, open your Bible. Let's, in Northern California, make a deal. Okay? Shall we make a deal today? Every saint is a gate. And every church is a gate. And there will be this, not golden gate, but this pearly gate. Huge, big, pearly gate of a door in Northern California for floods of people to come in. I expect we will double, we will triple, not because we set some mechanical goal and we don't do this and do that in a heartless manner. That is not sustainable. Let's have a heart change. These days, I beg you all to go to the Lord and pray. Deal with the Lord, maybe not in such an intense way as I did, according to the Lord's leading. If the Lord would break our hearts, open our hearts, then the triune God will have a way. Okay?
Amen.
We will have more training, fellowship, this, that, and the other, don't worry. But this is where it begins, and the Lord has to get through. Pray for your church. Your church will be a church with walls, but with a lot of gates. And we really need some gates that the white folks can come in. They need a particular kind of gate. For the black folks to come in, they need the kind of gate. It's not the same gate. That's why so many gates. That's why nation, people, tribes, tongues, ethnos. The word for nations is ethnos. You know, the word ethnicity. According to the, become the Jew as a Jew, as those under the law, as those not under the law. Paul became everything to every man, not to dumb down, not to compromise the truth, but so that he can be like them, to be where they are, to bring them to the truth, to the Lord. We will speak more about that. Now, today, with the remaining 15 minutes is all I have, I'd like to share with you something very marvelous, and you might have picked up a little bit. And that is, we are very close to go into escrow to purchase a conference center for Northern California. Amen. After many years of prayer, fellowship, and search, we're going to do that. We're ready to do that now. We've done our due diligence. We city architects, all kinds of things, financial consideration. Now, where is this conference center? This conference center, this property, is located in Fremont, California. You say, oh. You know, like all these cities vying for to host the Olympics. Oh, why not my town, you know? Well, I will tell you, Fremont for a reason. Fremont, if you look at the whole Northern California, you do this in the middle, it's about Fremont. So we're talking about geographically, even population-wise, somewhat the center of gravity. Okay, sorry, it's not Palo Alto. Palo Alto is too far west. There it is. It's also the growth path. Right now, people have been priced out of the West Bay. They're all going towards the east. Facebook is going there. You know Fremont is Tesla, okay? And there's more to come. Google, everybody's going there. And of course, there's a dear church of Fremont in Fremont with a lot of dear saints. So this property is two buildings, not one. It's okay to say that, right? We have such a big heart. One is not enough. We bought two. Well, it's really not quite that way. It's the seller, two or nothing. So we say, okay, we'll take two. Two buildings combined 60,000 square feet. Each building almost 30,000 square feet. Huge. Single story, tilt up. Inside can be renovated quite easily because all these are sort of warehouse, office type, into meeting hall use like that, like this. Now here's the best thing. There are 240 parking spaces. Now you don't find that anywhere in the Bay Area. 240 spaces. That's not even the best. There's a better one here. That the city so far tell us that for each parking, correct me if I'm wrong, hey David, don't talk to him. For each parking space, we are allowed to have 5 seats. Do the math. 240 times 5. We can theoretically have a hall, have a facility that can hold 1,200 people. Today, this morning, this hall is 1,000 seats. So you can get an idea. And it will be breakable, partitioned exactly like this. So we have smaller things. Now you say, why do we need this? Well, first of all, conference center is going to be your meeting hall. That means it doesn't belong to any church. It belongs to the saints. Belongs to all of us. Belongs to all the churches. This is our common meeting hall. That means all of us have rights to use it. It will be used for meetings like this. It will be used for clustering of various clusters of churches. It will be used for college conferences. It will be used for young people's retreat. It could be used for summer school of truth. It can be used for Bible camp. It can be used for sisters meeting. It can be used for middle-aged saints meeting. It could be used for perfecting conferences. It can be used for Northern California, for Southern Oregon, for Nevada, with a facility like that, and we don't need to pay all kinds of money because it's our own. Wow. And have you heard of Warm Springs Boulevard? It's main arterial. And right at the shadows of Tesla, basically. And in the shadows. And so there it is. Now, all I can say is, brothers and sisters, we have not taken this endeavor in a light way, quick way. A lot of things to consider, as you can imagine. But all the brothers are in one accord. All the co-workers, the elders, the core brothers in Northern California, we are absolutely in one accord. Can you say an amen to that?
Amen.
Okay, trust me, and I really mean that. And I somewhat speak as a visitor objectively, and that's the Lord's doing. We could not have done this 4 years ago, but now we can. Now, this project will take a little time because it needs to be renovated. I hope it will be a state-of-the-art place that you can even do Skype, you know what I'm saying? Teleconferencing and all manners of things. I hope there will be a nice place. Unlike here, you cannot eat here, you can eat there. I hope there will be facility to serve, almost like a cafeteria-like lobby. Just nice facility. That would augment the anticipated and expected growth and increase in Northern California.
Amen.
That I predict will come.
Amen.
Because of all these gates.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
Right now, we have 2,500 to 3,000 saints, depending how you count amongst us. I think we will have 5,000, 6,000, 10,000 saints if we are faithful to the Lord and under the Lord's blessing. Now, of course, I cannot not talk about the need side, and that is the finance side. I would like to tell you this much, that right now, for these two buildings combined, rough round number, $12 million. $12 million. Roughly each building, half and half, $6 million each, roughly. There's a little give. And of this amount, we, of course, our hope is that we can pay it down and just not incur any debt. That's the best. We probably will just use one building for our purpose. The purpose, 30,000 feet, trust me, is a huge building. Okay, can do a lot flexibly. The other building, we will get into the situation and see what we will do. There are certain options. Commercially, how to use this, we will step by step devise a plan for that. But the two buildings is $12 million. And for one building, let's say, is $6 million. let's say, one building. And in order to upgrade that building to be fully functional, like the way I described, it probably we need to sink another $1 million in there, just realistically. So let's say $7 million, we can have a building of our own with all the parking. And I can tell you right now, just among the churches, without your giving, we have already $4 million. $4 million by the Lord's mercy. Now, what if we do something to at least have $7 million, at least to have one building all furnished and renovated for our use? Actually, in my heart, I believe we can do more. I believe the riches is in the body, and the Lord will burden the saints. But as a minimum, at least we can have that one building. The owner is ready to give us a, seller's note or loan. So there's some facility there, but we don't want to just depend on that and rely on that. Vancouver's meeting hall was burned. Do you know that? 2015, burned, just burned down. So they are now building their meeting hall, and that meeting hall will cost about the same exactly like our two halls, except their meeting hall is 20,000 feet usable. Ours is 60,000 feet usable. I don't know how you find properties like this in Bay Area. So, in so many words, brothers, it's a deal. It's a real deal. Now, I'd like to share this because these 1,000 saints that are here today, you're all the core saints in Northern Cal churches. And you are the ones with the burden. You're the ones doing the heavy lifting. You're the ones who are the core, brothers and sisters. And so we feel that this morning, even though at the sacrificing a message, we want to utilize this time to share with you this very good news and also to share with you concerning the need. I want to end with this, and I don't know, you want to say something or not, David? I did it all. I want to say something and end. I'm going to go over 1 o'clock in just a few minutes. And if you have time today, go home and read Exodus 35 and 36. There in these two chapters, Moses was building the tabernacle according to the pattern on the mount, and he let Israel, children of Israel, knew and asked them to bring the material to build the building. And all these Israel people, they all went, they left Egypt, they plundered Egypt. Remember that? So in the hands of all these Egyptian gold, Egyptian silver, Egyptian all kinds of things. And when that was spoken, to build the tabernacle of Jehovah, the testimony of the Lord, they came forward. And the word says this in chapter 35. And this, after they heard this, and all the assembly, and they came. It says they came. Everyone whose heart lifted him up, and everyone whose spirit made him willing. Notice the heart and the spirit, and brought the heave offering of Jehovah for the work of the tent of meeting, and for all its service, and for all the holy garments. So it's not just the tabernacle, but the priestly garbs and all the furnishings. And it says they brought the heave offering. It didn't say they bring these Egyptian stuff. All those Egyptian stuff, that they brought, material, became a heave offering to Jehovah. This dirty Egypt riches sanctified for God's house is a heave offering. So, brothers and sisters, it's not really, again, about just money. It's about sanctifying material that is considered a heave offering to Jehovah. And they came, men together with women, as many as were of a willing heart, and brought nose rings. Apparently the Egyptians have nose rings. I don't know. Okay, and earrings, signet rings, and pendants, all kinds of articles of gold. And they went down, this and that, bronze and wood and all manners of things, and stones and so forth. All this eventually, it says, these are not only heave offerings, but freewill offerings to Jehovah. And it says, then later on, and so much was brought to Moses. Moses gave a commandment, and a proclamation was passed out through the camp saying, let neither man nor woman produce any more material for the heave offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient and more than enough for the work to do it. That means Moses say, thank you very much. We don't need it. We have too much. Isn't this a beautiful sight? Huh, brothers and sisters? Isn't this a glorious picture? Moses was not putting guns onto head. Moses was not twisting arms. Moses was not walking around with a tin can. Moses just shared with them God's need for his testimony on the earth. And there rose a willing spirit and also a lifted up hearts. And what? They gave in a poured out way. And later on, and I don't have time, it says another kind of people came. These are not people who brought the material. These are actually the workers with the skills to build, to do the handiwork, and so on and so forth. Today, my brothers and sisters, we're all the children of Israel. God is building his house, and this project is part of that. And surely what I was just talking about on the gospel, on the heart, is the other part of that. And these two things, they match. And I'm here to call. I'm issuing a call for all of you, all of us, this 1,000 saints. If we can have 1/3 a 1,000 saints in Northern California who would rise up because of the Lord's interest and because of our love for the Lord's recovery. On the one hand, to bring our material for the building physically, and also to bring our hearts, to open our hearts for the gospel. Brothers and sisters, the glory days are ahead.
Amen.
I predict it. The glory days are ahead. Let me tell you my prayer. I'll stop here. My prayer to the Lord is not, Lord, bring us to the good old days of Eldon Hall. My prayer is, Lord, send the latter rain.
Amen.
Bring forth a revival greater than the Eldon years.
Amen.
Because your testimony deserves that.
Amen.
We're not going back. We're going forward. Northern California, we're going forward.
Amen.
The latter house is always greater than the former house.
Amen.
That is a principle. I do predict a revival is coming.
Amen.
To the United States of America, including Northern California.
Amen.
Will you consecrate yourself to this?
Amen.
I'm ready.
Amen?
Amen. And the people said, Amen.
Amen.
Lord, you heard that.
Amen.
Lord, you saw that.
Amen.
Lord, I praise you for that.
Amen.
Thank you for your grace.
Amen.
Abundant mercy.
Amen.
That you have bestowed on your churches.
Amen.
Especially the churches in Northern California.
Amen.
What wondrous work.
Amen.
That you have done among us already.
Amen.
Lord, now you open our eyes.
Amen.
To see what is in your heart. And what so much more you want to accomplish.
Amen.
For your eternal economy.
Amen.
Lord, this morning as one man,
Amen.
We come to Jerusalem.
Amen.
We bring our offerings,
Amen.
Materially,
Amen.
Personally,
Amen.
Humanly and spiritually,
Amen.
As an offering to you.
Amen.
Lord, we are here loving you,
Amen.
Following you, serving you,
Amen.
With no other interest on the earth except your own.
Amen.
Lord, may your recovery prevail.
Amen.
May the morale and impact be restored.
Amen.
May your recovery grow and increase in an unprecedented way.
Amen.
Lord, surprise us.
Amen.
Lord, shock us.
Amen.
It's not we who can do this, but you and you alone.
Amen.
For this we pray. We join with you.
Amen.
Open the heavens up.
Amen.
And pour down a blessing.
Amen.
So much so that we cannot have room to contain all of it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And bless all the dear saints.
Amen.
Even in their jobs.
Amen.
In their families.
Amen.
In our church life.
Amen.
We'll be just under your reign of blessing. Bless the work of your hands.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Okay, brothers, that's all I want to share.